What's Christmas all about? Can you imagine celebrating Christmas without recognizing Christ? I can't even imagine how sad, how empty, how hollow the day would be if we were celebrating Christmas without recognizing that it's Christ's birthday. Yet many liberals are trying to celebrate this holiday season without acknowledging that it's Christ's birthday. Can you imagine Amy Grant singing? Deck the halls with boughs of holly, rocking around the holiday tree. And that holiday tree? No. Can you imagine Frank Sinatra singing? Ooh, ooh, I'll be home for holiday. No, you're not going to be home for holiday, you're going to be home for Christmas. Can you imagine Bing Crosby singing? I'm dreaming of a white holiday. No, not a white holiday, it's white Christmas. Can you imagine Elvis singing? I'll have a blue holiday without you. No, it's not a blue holiday, it's blue Christmas. And he'd be blue just thinking about you. Those who simply want to sing or wish you a happy holiday might as well be wishing you a happy holiday. Because when you take Christ out of Christmas, you've emptied this very important event of its meaning, of its purpose. You've removed the reason for the season. Those who take Christ out of Christmas have sucked all the life and meaning right out of it. And it becomes a hollow day instead of a holy day, the day of Christ's birth. A day we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. The Bible highlights the real meaning of Christmas. And you've heard it read about tonight. From the Old Testament prophecies that a virgin would conceive and give birth to a son. That his name would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. That you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, out of you will come this ruler. Bethlehem. And now there were in the same country shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. You know, those shepherds were gathered outside of Bethlehem with their sheep. They spent the day with them. They spent the night with them. And the firstborn lambs, the firstborn male lambs, were marched 7 miles into Jerusalem. And there, those firstborn male lambs would be sacrificed as an atonement for sins. And this happened over and over and over until one day, John looked and saw someone coming towards him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You see, that's why it was such good news and brought such great joy, is because the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, would come to earth, born of the Virgin Mary, and live a sinless life and go to the cross to die for you and me. The Lamb of God would die once for all to pay the penalty of sin. Some of you may be familiar with Brock and Bodie Taney. They tell a story that I want to share with you tonight because It's so fitting. I grew up on a farm and saw animals give birth and saw animals die, saw babies die. And they tell about it. It was Christmas 1985. Bodie was grown and had a family of her own, and they were standing inside of the lambing barn. And they were there with the veterinarian as he was shaking his head, sadly, and there was a little baby lamb bleeding miserably, and its mother had died. That mother, that ewe, was going to be their son Jake's 4-H project that coming year, but now she was dead, and her baby had no mother, and how would she survive? How would the baby survive? And they looked hopelessly across the corridor, and there, just across the corridor from where this lamb was with the dead mother, there was a mother, a ewe, whose lamb was stillborn. And she was wrestling around with it and trying to nuzzle it and trying to get it to get up and trying to get it to nurse. And of course, it was a limp baby. It was dead. And they're thinking, well, maybe we could take this little orphan lamb and bring it over to this ewe. And that would solve both of their problems. The orphan needed a mom, and the mom was wanting the baby to come and to nurse. And they put the little lamb in there with that ewe, and that ewe snorted and started running at that lamb, about to trample it. And Bodie's husband, Brock, just picked the lamb up in time to save it. And little Jake, 9 years old, says, well, her baby is dead. Why won't she take this little orphan baby? And his mom, Bodie, said, well, you know, she knows it's not her own. And she doesn't want to accept it. The veterinarian was trying to calm down this angry ewe. And he said, you know, there's something that they used to do in the old days. Shepherds used to know a little trick to try to help a ewe accept a lamb that was not her own. But it's kind of messy. But if you're up for it, I'm willing to try it. And he said, sure. He said, well, we're going to have to gut this baby lamb that died, and we're going to have to skin it. So while Jake and Bodie were kind of calming the ewe, Brock and the vet took both lambs out. They gutted the lamb, skinned it, and then they swaddled that skin around the little lamb that was living and tied it on. So it had kind of like almost 8 legs, 4 dangling and 4 on the floor, and they brought it back, and as the shepherds would do in the old days, they set that lamb in the manger for the ewe to discover. The ewe goes over to the manger, senses the lamb there, smells the lamb, and recognizes that it's her own. And she gives a happy bleat, and then she nudges the lamb out of the manger and nudges it over to her for its first supper. And Brock took Bodie and Jake in his arms and he said, well, Merry Christmas. Once again, we find life in the manger. And it was such a beautiful picture, because that's exactly what we see in that Jesus Christ, the sweet Lamb of God, came down and he died so that we could be covered by him. And we could be covered with his death. We could be covered with his blood. And we could have life. And we could be acceptable to our Heavenly Father. One of the things that happens at Christmas time when we do it here, we have the kids come up and sing and do little plays. And for years now, whenever pageants are talked about in a certain little town in the Midwest, someone is sure to mention the name of Wallace Perling. Wally's performance in one of the plays was unforgettable, and even the old-timers loved to tell about it. But anyhow, Wally was 9 that year, but he was still in the second grade. He was a little slow in mind and movement, obviously bigger than all the other kids in his class. But they all loved him. He was a gentle little boy, and he was a natural protector of the underdog, and so they all liked him. And it came time for the Christmas play, and Wally was hoping he could be a shepherd and kind of play a little flute and stuff like that for the Christmas pageant. But Miss Lombard felt like he needed a more important role, one that would fit well with someone that's a little larger than the others, and that he could be the innkeeper, and he could say, "No, we don't have any room for you," kind of thing. And so she assigned him to be a very small part, just a few words to say. And so he was going to be the innkeeper for the play. And so everyone is gathered, and you've got the little kids that are being sheep and the kids that are the shepherds, and you've got Joseph and Mary and everything else. And as the play's going along, Joseph and Mary come over and they give a loud rap on the door. They're at the inn, and Joseph opens the door. He's standing there, Wally opens the door. And Joseph looks at him and says, can we have a place to stay? And he said, "Well, no. Oh, we don't have any room." He says, "Well, we need lodging." Well, he said, "Seek it elsewhere. The inn is full." And Joseph said, "Well, we've tried everywhere. And there's no place we can go. We don't have a place to stay. We've traveled a long ways." And he said, "Well, there's no room in the inn for you." And he looked properly stern as he said it. "There's no room in the inn for you." And then Joseph said, "Well, please, good innkeeper, this is my wife, Mary. And she's pregnant with a child, and she's so tired. Surely you must have some small corner for her." And then, unmistakably, you could see as you looked at Wally's face, Wally the innkeeper, that his stiff stance had changed a little bit, and he was just looking down at little Mary, who was pregnant with a child and tired, and he just kept looking at her. And finally, from the side, the coach says, "No, be gone." And so Wally automatically says, "No, be gone." And so Joseph sadly places his arm around Mary, and they turn and begin to walk away. And Wally, at that point, was supposed to close the inn door, but instead he just stood there watching them. And as he's watching them, his eyes unmistakably filled with tears, and they begin to run down his cheeks. And then he said something you don't hear in most plays. Said, "Wait, Joseph, wait. Don't go. You can have my room." Some people in town thought the pageant had been ruined. But there were others, many others, who thought it was maybe the best Christmas pageant they'd ever seen. You see, Wally's heart was right. Wally's heart was right. Is yours? Is there room in your holiday for Christ? This has to do with your celebration. Is there room in your holiday for Christ? But I've got a second question. Is there room in your heart for Christ? And this has to do with your salvation. You see, if you haven't opened your life to Jesus Christ, if you haven't invited Him into your life, if you haven't placed your faith in Him, then you do not have eternal life. And Jesus Christ came for the very reason that He wanted to give you eternal life. In fact, on one occasion He said, "I have come to give my life." That's why He came. The cradle was specifically to lead to the cross. I say cradle, I should say manger. He came to the manger so He could go to the cross. That was the reason why He came. He came because He loves you. He loves you. And He wants you to have a relationship with Him. and he offers it to you as a free gift because he paid the price, and he paid the price in full. By going to that cross, bearing my sin and your sin in his body on that cross, and he paid the penalty for our sin, he was separated from the Father, and he gave up his life to pay for our sin. The wages of our sin is death and separation from God. He took that death. He took that separation for me and for you. And he offers us eternal life now as a free gift if we simply place our faith in Christ. You know the verse, God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. That if you would believe in him, you wouldn't perish, but you'd have everlasting life. So as we wrap up this Christmas service, we're going to be singing Silent Night. And as we sing Silent Night, we're going to be lighting candles. These candles are going to symbolize something. We're going to take it from the center candle on our Christmas wreath, the Christ candle. We're going to light the candles. And Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. And we're going to take his light, and then we're going to light our candles. But it's a picture. It's a picture that the light and life of Christ is now in me because I've believed in him. So if you haven't yet believed in him, you can go ahead and light your candle. That's the symbol. But I want to encourage you to place your faith in Christ. That's the reality.